Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
I sang my introduction there a little bit. Don't know if you noticed.
Yeah. I found that quite enjoyable, if I'm honest.
You found it lilting?
Yeah, yeah, a little musical lilt can really lift the spirits.
Yeah, might introduce that a bit more over the weeks and months to come. It's the Friday morning episode. It's yours on Thursday evening on this occasion. If you're a subscriber to our Patreon IFS service, where you get everything advert-free and early and bonus stuff and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I'm just beginning to read an interview with Terence Trent D'Arby.
Oh, fantastic.
Could be diveable.
Well, but I haven't read it all yet. Is it a new interview?
It was in The Guardian last week.
Last week? And obviously his new name, which I always forget. Salamander something, isn't it?
Sandana Maitreya.
That's it.
It's offensive to call him Terence Trent D'Arby still, because it's not his name anymore.
No, but...
But I haven't read it all, but... The strap line at the top says, in inverted commas, "I hypnotised myself into believing I was a genius."
Well, so, I think he's being harsh on himself. I think that he was. Maybe he still is.
Who knows?
We've
assessed him in the past, haven't we?
We've assessed him. For me, there's not many better debut albums. I don't think there's more. I think I was chatting to one of our regular listeners recently, tweeted about it, the noted and enjoyable music writer Simon Price.
Yeah.
And he said on X, which is the social media platform formerly known as Twitter, he said something along the lines of, you know, when it comes to debut swagger, you know, there's, I mean, I'm doing, obviously Simon's a better wordsmith than me, I'm doing him a disservice here, but he's basically saying, you know, it's one of the best debuts you could ever think of. And I was like, I mean, it's one of my favourite all-time albums, the Hardline, according to Terence Trent D'Arby. And the thing is about it is that the mad cunt fucking comes into his first video for If You Let Me Stay wearing a fucking, what do you call those jackets that the bullfighters wear? Is it called a bolero jacket or something?
I think something like that, yeah.
He comes on, he's in his early 20s, right? He's wearing a fucking bolero jacket and trousers up to his above his belly button, right? Mm. He's singing this incredible song, and the mad bastard at one point leaps into the air and lands in the splits, for crying out loud.
Yeah, here I am.
I mean, as all right cunts go, I would say that as a debut record is hard to beat. And I actually showed it to my son. I said, "Here, come and have a look at this." And usually he enjoys hating on music that I'm passionate about, because I think he just sees that as his role, right? But he couldn't resist it. I said, "Look at this. I know you'll probably slag it off because you think that's funny, but just have a look at this video." His mind was blown, right? So I start telling him a bit more about it. We look it up. And what I'd forgotten, but I knew back in the days, that before he was an amazing pop star, he was in the army stationed out in Germany. And he was a fucking boxing champion. The bloke's a triple threat, mate. He can sing, he can dance, and he'll beat the shit out of you if you take the piss.
Fucking got anything to say about it.
Yeah.
I've scrolled through the interview. There's nothing particularly tasty in it. He takes himself quite seriously, which he has done for quite a while now. That's fine. That's all right.
Yeah, he should. There was an interview he did in, weirdly, I think it was like the New Statesman about maybe 10 years ago now. And they tracked him down because he'd sort of done a bit of a Peter Purvis, hadn't he, for a few years. and withdrawn from public life. They tracked him down. I think he was living in Italy. I think he was living in Florence. Yes. In Florence, which again, you just think, fucking hell, this bloke, he has not made a misstep in his whole wonderful life, right? He released those albums and he was like, right, TTFN cons, I'm going to go and live in the world's most beautiful city and change my fucking name. Right. And he said in that, I don't know if you remember this, we may have discussed it, but he was of the opinion that Michael Jackson was so powerful in that era as a pop star that he saw, like, he saw, if you let me stay, and then he listened to the album and he was like, we can't have this. This bloke is like me, only younger and better. And so we've got to put a stop to it immediately. And Michael Jackson used his powers and, you know, the far-reaching hand of Jackson to basically sabotage Terence Trent D'Arby's career.
Yes. You'll not be surprised to hear that he's still talking about that in this interview.
Wonderful.
In 2024.
Wonderful. I believe it. What's he say?
Yeah, the question is, what was it like to have been briefly been the biggest thing around, the next Prince, I seem to recall, asks the questioner. But one of the things he says is, Michael Jackson grabbed hold of the Beatles catalogue, which gave him a lot more leverage in Sony, because they were both on the same label.
Right.
As much as I adored Michael, he wasn't my biggest fan, and he wasn't too comfortable with them transferring promotional efforts from him to me. So, yeah, still going on about
it. I mean, it might be true. I mean, if I was Michael Jackson...
Well, yeah.
And it was, what, 1987, I think, that album, that debut album
came out. 87, 88.
And, and he'd just released Bad, which is a great album, but it's not as good as Thriller, right?
Nowhere near Thriller.
Michael knew that, and it's not as good as Off the Wall either, right?
No, it's definitely not as good as Off the Wall.
So Michael knew that, right? He's not daft. The reason it wasn't as good is because after Thriller, he didn't make quite as much money as he hoped, even though he made fucking millions, because he worked out that all the money... Oh, turns out all the money's in the fucking publishing rights, and I let fucking Templeton and Jones write half the fucking tracks. So for the next one, I'm fucking writing them all. So he wrote them all, which is why it's not quite as good. And he's thinking...
And Quincy Jones produced it, though, didn't he?
Yeah, Quincy Jones, yeah, but Templeton and there was about three or four writers.
They didn't write anything on it.
I think Michael Jackson wrote a couple of songs on Thriller, I don't know, but, you know, obviously you need the magic touch of your Rod Templetons of this world. And Rod Templeton also written songs, the best songs on Off the Wall as well, and he didn't get a look in because Jackson wanted to write the majority of the songs on Bad because that's where the dough was. And so he's written it. It's all right, it's doing well, but it's not selling like Thriller. Next thing you know, he's sort of like, fucking hell. Oh, well, what are you going to do? I suppose I'm still number one.
Fucked that plan up, didn't I?
Still number one, I suppose. It's enough to stave off that cunt Prince. Right, let's switch on the telly and see what's going on. What? Who's this cunt? Fucking, who's the cunt dressed like a fucking bullfighter doing the splits?
What labels are we on? What, Sony? What? I didn't fucking clear this.
Right, Bobbles, fetch me my phone.
Get the phone.
No, stop, put that fucking banana down. Put it, stop wanking. Get me my phone, bring it over. I want to call fucking John Sony about this. I'm not happy.
Yes, you can put your roller skates on first to get the phone. Yes. Okay.
Right, well, bring it to me on the little fucking toy train then. I don't care, just fucking bring it, double quick. I've got to get on to fucking Sony HQ. Oh, hello. Yeah, it's Jacko here, Wacko Jacko. I'm sat here, right? I am sat here in Neverland, right? I've just had my lunch, which, as usual, was jelly beans and candy floss. Delicious, by the way, thank you. And I'm sitting here having a Coke float, right, with Bubbles. Yeah. And I've decided,
as well.
I was in a good fucking mood because I've been on the fucking merry-go-round all morning as well, right? Yeah, Macaulay's here. They're all here. Anyway.
Don't ask any questions.
I was in a good fucking mood for once. I've switched on the fucking chart show. Yeah. The chart, it's an English show, but I'm that rich, I get it fucking beamed over, don't I, satellite? I'm watching the fucking chart show and this cunt Terence from Derby or something. I don't give a fuck where he's from. But he's on the fucking telly, prancing about like a fucking prize pudding. And I'm thinking, whoa, 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 whoa. Right? This isn't good for old Jacko. So I want answers. And that's how it started.
And that's how it got out of hand.
Yeah.
Update on Terence Trent D'Arby, a.k.a. Sun and Maitreya. He's got a new album out called Pegasus and the Swan.
Sounds brilliant.
It has more than 40 tracks on it.
Fucking 100% getting that on vinyl. Presumably there's about four discs.
I think we should do a live video stream where we listen to it together and all of it.
That would be brilliant. Yeah, we need to do more listening parties.
That'll be one of the things that could actually whittle us down to our one true listener that we're aiming for.
40 hours of these two 40 men.
40 hours of Terence Trent
D'Arby. These two weird men listening 40 live.
40 songs or 40 hours.
Oh, no, but 40 songs. Yeah, still this, a long, this, long this, listen.
This could change your life, Sam. This could change your life. I'm about to tell you now. Sananda is going to do his first live show in the UK for 22 years at a thing called Love Supreme.
Love Supreme. Yeah.
In East Sussex. It's quite near you.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I know that festival, Love Supreme. Yeah. It's good. It's got loads of other great artists at it as well, hasn't it?
He's on the fucking Shaka Khan's on top of the bill.
Yeah.
Dionne Warwick.
Yeah, I mean...
Kool and the Gang.
Yeah, I mean, basically all the greatest living artists.
It's a jazz soul affair. It's
fucking jazz soul, mate.
And I don't know what day Shaka's on. I don't know what day Terence Sananda is on. But you get yourself along. 6th of July he's on. That's the middle day, the Saturday, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'll buy tickets for that. Unless, of course, you're listening and you are or you know whoever does the PR, in which case we will gratefully receive freebies for it.
You say we. I'm not coming down for it.
For Shaka Khan and fucking Terence Trent D'Arby.
It's in fucking Lewis and East Sussex. I'm not coming all the way down there for that.
Lovely part of the world. And remember, mate, never forget the day that Shaka Khan personally liked a tweet you wrote, which I think was, I think that's when you peaked, which is saying something.
Yeah.
Because you've had a lot of great moments and you continue to have them. But for me.
Yeah.
That was different. That was next level. Levels,
wasn't
as
even
the kids
reply,
say.
Just a heart. A heart.
Yes.
Press the heart for like.
Yeah.
Fucking Grace Jones is on in Halifax in June.
That sounds made up, doesn't it? What you just said.
It does.
I can't quite believe it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's an outdoor venue called Peace Hall in Halifax, which is well-renowned.
Yeah,
Grace Jones is on there in June, and I'm indifferent.
You're not sure
on stage with her or somewhere
being fucked to death. But that could be the moment where you die. You finally get your wish to be fucked to death.
I'm not ready to die. That's the thing.
Yeah,
I'm not ready to die yet.
There's two. Your affairs aren't in order. There's too many things that you still need to do. It's so much living.
Too many variables.
You still have to live.
Yeah. So there we are. That's what I was looking at, and the interview wasn't as good.
Apparently she was a huge fan of Happy Valley with Sarah Lancashire.
Yeah,
and that's why she's really wanted to. She's always wanted to play Halifax because she thought that despite the grim themes, the backdrop of Halifax looked enchanting to her.
And she then got in The Last of the Summer Wine, weirdly.
Yeah,
which isn't the same. But is in the same part of the world. Someone just told her there's this other thing.
If you like it,
in a similar part of the world called Last of the Summer Wine.
She said to her assistant, "Bring me other television shows set in this
from this part of the world, or its environs." Well,
and,
there's Last of the Summer Wine. It goes back to 1973. There's a lot to get through. There's 36 series. I don't mind. I'm semi-retired.
She said,
"Okay, whatever."
Yeah. She said, "I would like to make a celebrity cameo appearance in this Last of Your Summer Wine." It's actually called Last of the Summer Wine, and unfortunately it was discontinued quite a while ago.
Revive it!
Have it revived!
Just reboot
like,
it!
You know, I don't know if you know this, but you know the Canadian rapper Drake? He personally revived the urban youth gang television show Top Boy, which is basically a bit like a modern day Biker Grove. if you haven't seen it, right?
Yeah.
So it's like Biker Grove, but set in London. And they did a couple of series. It's a good show. And then Netflix, for whatever reason, or whoever made it originally, was like, right, that's it, we're not doing anymore. And Drake was so gutted that they didn't make another series, he got in touch with the writer and producers. And he said,
okay,
I want you to make another show. I'll help fund it. And I'll go and speak to Netflix on your behalf to get it commissioned.
All right.
And he did.
And he was behind that.
Imagine being kind of that thing. Rich and powerful that you personally can get a show brought back just because you've just finished the final episode and you feel frustrated. There's loose ends. So you force them. It reminds me of the plot of Misery, you know, that Stephen King. It's the same thing. She, Kathy Bates is, in that, she makes James Caan, the author, write a satisfying conclusion. But what she does is she kidnaps him and smashes his legs in, right, and forces him to do that.
It's nuanced.
and anyway, Grace Jones is doing, I've read a rumour that Grace Jones is doing the same with Last of the Summer Wine. She heard what Drake successfully did with Top Boy.
She's going to reboot it.
She's doing it. She's self-funding a new series, and she's open talks with Netflix.
I want to recreate all 36 series, and I would wish to play the part of Nora Batty within the show with the wrinkled stockings.
It's a great inspiration to me and many women.
Oh, fucking Shaka Khan as Nora Batty.
Grace Jones.
Jones couldn't be Nora Batty.
Oh, no, it's Shaka Khan playing Halifax. Or Grace Jones.
Oh, no, it's Grace Jones playing Halifax.
Yeah, yeah.
Where did Shaka Khan come from? I'm thinking Shaka Khan.
You've got That's Shaka Khan bullshit. On the mind, yeah.
I'd cut all that out.
Yeah.
I was speaking far too softly in the character of Grace Jones there.
Yeah, you were. Oh, well.
Oh, fuck. Never mind.
Yeah, well, my mate...
What's going on, anything?
Well, I've had a nap. I went to my favourite childhood greasy spoon today. It's Easter holidays. Right. And, you know, you can do wholesome things with your kids. Like, I took my daughter to an exhibition at Somerset House on Tuesday and... I went out and played table tennis with my son on Monday. And then today it's Thursday and I'd run out of wholesome ideas, but they were getting under my feet around the house. So I decided that today's activity was to take them out to my favourite childhood greasy spoon, right? The Ritz in Hammersmith, which has been there since the 80s and still is pretty much exactly the same down to the menu. Right? Mm-hmm. And you don't get many greasy spoons anymore in London. You just don't get the classic greasy spoons anymore. There's fucking loads of takeaways and cafes, don't get me wrong. But you don't get the classic builder's caf. And this one,
I think they've had to recreate one for the Apprentices series especially. It's not actually
Exactly. It's like that one in the Apprentice. A mock one. And they used to be fucking everywhere. You couldn't move for them.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Jalapeño.
But the interesting thing is, or the good thing from my point of view, is even when there was quite a few around my area, this one was always the best. All the others have gone. like they have everywhere, right? This one's still standing. Still with the tables that are nailed into the floor with the seats attached. Do you know the type I mean, Andy?
Yeah.
So I took them there. That to them is like a good trip out. You know, we went over to Hammersmith.
Did they enjoy it?
They loved it. I've taken them before since they were kids, but we haven't been for ages. Like that for them is better than going to McDonald's or anything, because it's a novelty to kids these days. They don't know about these places where everything comes with chips and fat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had a double egg, chips and beans, toast, and for the table, I got a portion of bubble and squeak. I said, just pop a portion of bubble in the middle of the table and we'll all have a bit.
Yeah, did you use the phrase for the table? Because I don't think that would have gone down all that well.
No, I said that.
You said put it in the middle of the table.
I said put it in the middle of the table, yeah.
Yeah.
They knew what I meant by that. Well, it was very explicit. And to be honest, the geezer who runs the place, he seemed to know that, like, it seemed to be a familiar technique to order a plate of bubble for everyone to share.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I had double, right. They had full English, the kids, but I kept it simple with double egg, chips and beans, and it was fucking sensational.
Good stuff.
Lovely. On the way back, I had a, because I was back in my childhood area, which isn't really far from where I live now, to be honest, but it is in terms of the atmosphere, like the vibe. Anyway, I saw a glaziers, right? I said to my missus, you ever bought any glass direct from a glazier? And she said, no, I haven't. I said, I fucking have. From there, loads of times in the 80s, right?
You bought lots of glass in the 80s?
What here's for? The story. It's a glazier, and it's another shop that's still there, right? That just was there back then in the 80s. And it's great. It's just called Chiswick Glaziers, right?
Mm.
And it's just on the corner of this road, and it's just always been there. And you can't understand, everywhere else has been turned into a bookies or a kebab shop, right? Or a nail bar, hasn't it? But this place is still there. And she was like you. She was sceptical. She was like fuck, did you buy glass in the 80s from there? I said, here's what happened. We bought in my house, my mum bought a massive A2 size clip frame. Clip frames were very popular back then, right? So they cost like a couple of quid. Yeah. You know them, don't you?
I know them.
I don't know if they're still popular or not. You don't see as many of them about. And we decided we were going to get a load of family photos and arrange them into a collage. Yeah.
Mm.
I think it was like a little bit of a summer holiday project for me.
Feels right? like a project, yeah. I was going to say. Yeah.
She said, here's a clip frame I've bought. Arrange a load of fucking... Shut your mouth, right? Take these photos... Put them in
put
a collage.
Put the fucking television off.
And hang that on the fucking wall, you little tit. Right? So I said, fine, no problem. So what I did was, I arranged all the photos, right? But I didn't realise that you had to stick them to the card, right? Because I thought that when you put the glass on top and then clicked it on, the glass would hold the photos in place, right? So I spent fucking ages doing it. I put a nail in the wall. I've hung the fucking frame on the wall. Bang! The photos have all fucking collapsed. Smashed. Right? And then, to make it worse, it's fallen off the wall. The glass has smashed. My mum's gone ballistic. Right? And I've gone, they have to get another one. And she was like, fuck, I'm not getting another one. She went, in fact, I'll tell you what you can do. She went, take the back of it. I'll sweep this up. Walk across Dogshit Park. Right, which is sat between our house and the glaziers, right? She went, go to that fucking glaziers, right? And fucking tell them to get you a bit of glass that's exactly this shape and size, right? And that, see how much they'll charge you for it. I fucking went over there. I thought, this sounds like the most ludicrous thing I've ever done. I walk in and it's just one of those shops, like, just one bloke. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Really grumpy, unfriendly, like, looks classic. What the fuck are you? Yeah, classic glazier. Right, and I go, your classic grumpy glazier. We all had one when we were kids, didn't we? Right,
we did.
And every area had
all
one.
The glaziers were grumpy.
Yeah,
100%.
I walked in, and he looked at me like, "Fucking, what do you fucking want, you little pissant in here? This is a man's place, right? This is a glazier's son. This isn't a fucking playground, right?" And I explained to him, I said, listen, I need a bit of glass. Could you get me a bit of glass? This, he goes, and he was like, of course I fucking can, right? He cut the bit of glass in front of me. It was one of the most exciting things I'd ever seen before or since, right? And he charged me, I can't remember exactly, but he charged me next to fucking nothing for this piece of glass. And my mind was blown by how exciting that was, right? So I get this piece of glass and I carry it all the way home. It's about 15-minute walk. Somehow I get the piece
back through Dogshit Park. Yeah.
But yeah, through Dogshit Park, bubble wrap on it. Somehow I get it home without it being fucking broken or smashed, right? And I was a clumsy fucking kid, so that was a miracle in itself. I get back, I'm buzzing to my mum, going, Mum, you won't fucking believe it. Look at this. He cut the glass to size in front of me. It cost me less than a fucking quid, and I've got it all the way home without fucking breaking it. This is one of the most exciting days of my life. She's like, well done, this is good, this is a success. Now don't fuck it up again. Well, Andy, it won't surprise you to know, I did fuck it up again.
You fucked it up, yeah.
I did,
yeah,
the whole collage all over again, this time taking the time to stick the pictures down with Pritt Stick, right? So it took even longer the second time, hung it up. The thing was, the nail couldn't take, the fucking shitty tack that had been nailed into the wall just wasn't enough. That was the thing that I'd overlooked. It fell down immediately again, smashed again. My mum went mental again, but I was quite excited. I was low-key happy because I was like, oh, it's back to the Glazers for me. Back to see me, mate. Right. And to be honest, it was fucking so cheap, right?
It was cheap, exactly.
I could do this all day. I could do this all fucking day. It's brilliant. The bloke is a bit grumpy, but I can feel that I'm winning him over with my adorable, cheeky, chappy demeanour.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so I went back out again.
Do you think any of that had any connection between the relationship between yourself and your father?
What, me getting so in with the glazing? No, yeah, I was always looking for another father.
You've seen him as an alternative father
figure? Yeah, I was doing that all the time. Completely. Still doing it now. But he was one of the many people that I tried to sort of adopt as my father.
Do you see me as one of those?
I didn't want you to know this, but yeah.
Oh, God.
In fact, a couple of times I've called you dad and you said pardon and I've just pretended I was clearing my throat. Think back, mate. Piece it together. Remember the time when you took me to the Roy the Rovers exhibition in Manchester? Right.
Sorry, what?
Remember when you took me to the Roy the Rovers exhibition in Manchester? Right.
Can I break some news
live?
Go on. We might have to put this episode out straight away as a result. OJ Simpson has died.
Oh, Christ. How old was he?
76.
76?
76.
Fucking hell.
Just had a text. It came through a text from my daughter. OJ Simpson has died. Florida is safe, she says.
Wow. Well, poor old OJ, really. What of him being a murderer and a terrible man?
Definitely did a murder.
Yeah, everyone can be a bit more open now, can't they?
Oh, Sky Sports News have reported it. That seems a bit weird. I know he was a fucking football player and everything, but, you know, that's not really relevant. Sorry, where were we? Was that it?
Yeah, I think the moment that I tricked you into being my father figure without you noticing it was the day that you took me to the Melchester Rovers exhibition.
I'm wise.
Yeah.
Was I your dad that day?
Yeah, you didn't realise it, but you should have picked up at the end when we went through the gift shop and I said, Andy, can I have one thing? And you said, yeah, but it has to be under £5.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah,
so obvious now.
I tricked you, you didn't see it. But yeah, went back to the glazier. He was like, what are you doing back? I said, I broke it again. And he sort of rolled his eyes. But I think he saw it as endearing. I bought another bit of glass. And then I think eventually I would have left it for one of my older brothers to do. To do it properly. Because it was like, I fucked it up twice now, you know. Yeah. But anyway, that's really been my day. It's a walk down memory lane. I went to the Greasy Spoon and then the way back I drove past the glaziers. And it's just happy memories of glass. And if you haven't been to a glazier before and you've still got one in your area, do yourself a favour. Go in and I might get T-shirts actually where that says support your local glazier. Because if you, it's a case of, with glaziers, mate, it's a case of use it or lose it. Yeah?
Yeah, you won't realise you needed them until they're gone.
And then
yeah.
they've got like all these other wonderful places in your local high street. They go and you're complaining because you're saying, oh, it's all nail buyers and bookies now, right? And all big chains, no independent shops. Well, the reason we've still got the greasy spoon and the glazier is because I fucking go, I'm still a patron. Well, that said, I don't think I've been a patron of the glazier since the 80s, but some cunt has because it's still 30, going.
40 years. Yeah. Luckily, yeah, other people are still out. I had a similar kind of trip down memory lane the other day. I was driving through Shiny Row, where, of course, I grew up. Just the side of the road, there's a sign pointing up one of the side streets to a place called the Bed Centre. And it's just a bed retailer. I've never used it. But the building that the Bed Centre is in Shiny Row in 1983, I would say, housed Shiny Row's video rental store.
Oh.
Can you remember the joy of going into a video rental store? And I'm not talking about Blockbusters before when they came along. I'm talking about hardcore original.
Yeah.
When you just had standalone video stores run by independent
traders. Independent video stores, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck it. Walking in the door. I still remember going in for the first time.
Yeah.
It's like the first time you go to a football match and you see the pitch for the first time. It's a similar thing. It never leaves you. All of the films. Oh, all of the fucking films are there.
You just stand and stare for fucking ages.
Yeah. Just looking at all the boxes.
It was
all
great.
The artwork.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
They were quite few and far between a good one. Like, I remember that some of the, like, little convenience stores, like grocers or
newsagents had
a small rickety carousel. And the carousel didn't quite turn properly. Do you know what I mean? You try and turn it, but then it would get stuck. You could get those. It's like the good ones are always out. You'd be, oh, fucking hell, brilliant. They got Return of the Jedi. No, sorry, it's out. Mm. It's been out for fucking days. Yeah, no, I called the person who's got it, but they didn't answer, so. But there was a bigger one. But we used to get a bus to that sometimes.
Yeah.
In the early days of having a video, you'd go to the trouble, you'd get on a bus, 15 minutes, get to the shop, decide on a video, and get a bus all the way back again.
There was a one in Sunderland near the college that used to go to called Azad Video, and it was massive. And we used to drive there in my mate's car because it easily had the best range to choose from. And it just fucking... Kids today don't know the joy. They just dial up Netflix or whatever.
And then they barely bother watching it. They barely bother. Yeah. They go, right, I'm going to fucking watch, I don't know, whatever it is the kids are into these days. Magic Mike, is it? Right.
Probably something like that, Magic Mike XL.
They just fucking type it in. They think, shall I watch it in HD or SD?
Yeah, first 10 don't minutes, know. All right. Yeah,
right.
Nah, put off.
And then they stick it on, and it's there on their laptop, balancing at a weird angle on their knee. Mm. And meanwhile, they're simultaneously on their fucking phone doing the old Snapchats or what have you, right?
Yeah.
We would, on a day, especially if it's the holidays, your whole day would be built around getting a video. What are you doing on Wednesday? John's coming round, and we're going to get a video.
Mm. Do you know what I mean? Close the curtains as well, make it feel like a cinema.
Yeah. And all the, what do they call those things, Andy, that are, what do they call it when it's dark in your house and you see dust particles floating across the room?
I don't think there's a word for it. Maybe the Germans have got a word for it.
There is. It's called like a dust mote or something like that.
Right. All right.
Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, like when you're just sat there in your living room. And you see a dust... I don't know if they still got them now, but in the 80s, everyone had them.
I think they happened more back then, yeah. Dust was more powerful back in the 80s.
There was a lot more... It was before Dyson and the Shark and all that came out.
Shark,
And
they just used, like, carpet sweepers, didn't they? And things like that, so the dust would just get moved around.
There was dust everywhere, unless you were in a high-class home.
Breathing it in.
Unless you were in a high-class home, I don't know. There you go. I've just looked it up on Collins Dictionary online.
Dustgasm?
You can practically count the dust motes as the character swap layer. Oh, it's just a load of quotes here about dust motes. Dust is a very small dry particle of earth or so. We know what dust is, Collins, you cunt.
We're not doing a deep dive on dust.
Hang on, aren't we?
Well, looks like we might be. Your phone battery's low, it says here.
Oh, God, sorry, I've been napping.
Your fucking phone's grassed yourself up again.
Oh, Anyway, dust motes. Do you have memories of dust motes? If you do, don't get in touch and tell us about them. Will we be deep diving dust motes of the great dust motes of the 80s? Yeah, I think we might.
Very possibly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just got that fucking flashback of the joy of the video rental store. Oh.
Lovely.
Predictions, I think, before we end. Very quickly, because your battery runs out. Arsenal versus Aston Villa.
3-1.
I'm going to go 2-0. Brentford versus Sheffield United. I'll go first on this. I think this will be 3-0 to Brentford.
2-0 Brentford.
West Ham United versus Fulham.
2-1 West Ham.
2-1 to West Ham. I think I will go 2-0 to West Ham. West Bromwich Albion versus Sunderland. I will just go 0-0 again because most of our matches are at the minute.
Okay, I'll say 1-0.
All right, and Newcastle United versus Spurs.
I think this will be Newcastle 1, Spurs 3.
I will go for 2-2. I think it'll be a fun match with four goals. That is about it, unless you've got anything else you want to mention.
No.
I just wanted to mention the social media post by Lenny Kravitz, where he was lifting some weights the other day.
Oh, I saw that. He's gone high performance.
With his leather trousers, leather trousers on and sunglasses. Further evidence that Lenny Kravitz is a twat.
I think it's only a matter of time. But I saw it and I thought, he's going to go on fucking Humphrey's podcast, didn't he? Because did you see what he wrote underneath? He said, everything is possible. You know, only you set your own limits and all this sort of bollocks.
Incredible. You did up to two good songs 35 years ago, and you're still dominating our thoughts. You see he's going to go on Humphrey's podcast. Humphrey's will be approaching him right now, put it that way.
Yeah.
He might not necessarily go on it, but the approach will be made.
I've been invited onto a podcast out of the blue. The invite arrived this week. And all I can say is it's by a person who's been of moderate interest to us for quite some time. And on this person's podcast, they are exploring the idea of like being against the grind, against the hustle. And because I've written about that in my book a little bit, they want me to come on. And it's going to be interesting. It could be content rich. And I can tell you, I was stunned to be invited to the extent that I'm almost wondering if it's a setup, but if it is, don't worry, because I'm going to go wearing my Stone Island.
As soon as this episode is over, I'll be asking you to reveal who that is. What was something else I was going to say on the back of something like that? No, I'll talk about that off air as well. That's it. Yeah, thanks very much for listening. Enjoy your weekend. That's that.
That's that.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.